a group of entrepreneurs, and they come on the land, lease it for, you know, a longer period of time with the goal to create different projects while protecting the forest.
This is The Butterfly Effect, a podcast that shows the big impact a small action can do. Tali Urad is talking to those special people that make a difference with nature and trees.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of The Butterfly Effect. My name is Tali Urad. I'm your host and your butterfly here. My special guest today is Ariana Ivan. If you are a regular to the show, you may have heard Ariana in one of our first episodes. She has built a social impact business from fashion to education, and today her mission is to create models that make forests profitable without cutting or degrading them. She believes in a world where forests don't need to be saved and people live a healthy life as part of nature. Today I'll be speaking with Ariana about other ways for land or forest owners to earn money from preserving their forests. Welcome back, Ariana, to The Butterfly Effect. I am so excited to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and talk to you.
I want us to start with maybe changing the term I'm using. They're not forest owners. Last we spoke, you corrected me and you called them caretakers.
Yeah.
What are forest caretakers?
Forest owners right now are the people that are legally owning the land, and forest caretakers are the ones that come and lease the land to protect it and do some activity on and around that area. They are the ones that stay there on the ground and decide to, you know, build a project that helps the forest and the local community. So They're the ones taking care of the forest on a daily basis.
Forest owners depend on the forest for income. At least some of them, right? Mm-hmm. And they're selling berries, or they are tracking for mushrooms or collecting sap from maple. Some lease it for hunting. And then, of course, we have logging. Mm-hmm. But they are different business models for making profits by maintaining the forests that you research and start working with. Can you explain a little bit more?
One of the problems that we've seen is that with tropical forests, or even with temperate forests, most of the time the owners that are living in small villages, they want to gain money with the forest and they cut parts of it, or they cut it all. So one model that we've been working with is corporate stewardship. What that means is that any organization, from a startup to a corporation or a family office, can actually invest some money into preserving that forest, just for the sake of keeping it alive, so that the owners don't rely on the forest to make money with the wood, basically, like cutting it down. The good thing is that with that investment, we are able to place strong security processes in place, such as hiring people on the ground, locals, the rangers, to go constantly and check it out, setting up drones and other systems to make sure that we have 24-hour access to see that the forest in real time is protected.
Mm-hmm.
The corporations or any organization can make sure that the forest in these local communities that have the highest biodiversity, that are virgin forests and old growth forests, are not going to be cut down just because people want to use it for their wood.
Right. So this is one. Corporations pay, right, to take care of the forest.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then the second one is that we have a permanent group and a guest group of forest caretakers. And the permanent group gets a long-term lease for the land. And these are, let's say, a group of entrepreneurs that come from the food system, that come from the off-the-grid living situation, from technology, and they come on the land, lease it for, you know, a longer period of time with the goal to create different projects while protecting the forest and making sure that, you know, the plants are kept safe, the trees are kept safe, the animals are also safe. And while they create these projects there, they can hire the local community, they can create education opportunities, and it's really like a forest community. It starts to become a self-sustained forest community.
When you say project, what do you mean by project?
There are a few concepts. I mean, there are a lot of concepts, but one of them is art park.
Okay.
In different parts of Europe, like Italy, there are art parks. Artists that come to the forest and create all sorts of beautiful art, then invite their following to experience the forest, but also experience the art. That's one option. The other option is to create living situations like teepees and off the ground tiny houses that don't damage the forest, but actually coexist with it. And that also produces revenue.
Right.
The other thing is that I've been talking to beautiful entrepreneurs that were acting in the forest bathing field, where they need forests to bring groups of people or individuals to bathe into the forest and have both a meditation experience, but also a connection, a deep connection to what's around them. That's another way to monetize.
So we have paying corporations, and then we have a leasing, mm-hmm. and there's another one, right?
It's a revenue share. So sometimes people don't necessarily have the like a full lease to pay, but there can be projects with which you can do revenue share models, like education projects or research projects, or even, you know, the art park that I just mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So this way, people come, protect the forest, create something, and because they want to give back, we set up a percentage of their revenue to be shared with the forest, basically.
Right. So that's for those who cannot commit, right?
Yeah, yeah. And for those that do want to commit, I wanted to say like other projects that can be on the forest that are more, you know, long-term projects, because what I mentioned so far is very short-term type of caretaker projects. But the mm-hmm. long-term ones are about food and agroforestry, like permaculture, probably like aquaculture, some forest farming, different food waste solutions that can happen, and even energy solutions, because in countries like Panama, the infrastructure is not that well established. So entrepreneurs can come and actually establish an entire system there that is living in harmony with the nature, and help also the locals, you know, with like different energy and technology solutions.
Right. So that will be falling under the investment, right?
The long-term lease. Yes.
Right. So if I'm an owner of a forest and I do not know any corporation or artist mm-hmm. or therapist, right? But I'd like to give it a try, because I'm assuming this is much more sustainable and this is maybe more beneficial for me, right? I may get more money by doing that versus logging, which takes time until trees grow. There is rotation. I cannot cut them all. So all those things. How can I do that?
108 Forest has been researching for a while all these options and is able to help create a plan. What's the best type of caretaker project that can happen in the next month, and what's one that can happen in the next year? Because usually when we work with forest owners, the main desire perhaps that one has is, how can I make money this month? With cutting trees down, I cut them and I get my money, and that's that. We have options that you can earn money with in the next month. Because we're working with locals, people that actually, like, their livelihood might depend on the forest, not people that had money to invest in, and they just distributed their wealth. We seek to work with people that are on the ground, and they are, you know, trying to find ways to make their life better. We have options that can help them within the first month, and options that can help them in the first year, and then more long term as well, so that people are not depending or like waiting a year to see some returns from their forest. And if you actually calculate, you know, you might earn a bunch of money if you cut the forest in the first year, but then you're gonna not have an income for 30 years.
Right.
But this way you have like a more sustainable, constant cash flow that comes to you.
And it's monthly, so they can see return
exactly.
Every month.
So yes.
Give us an example.
With a company, with a corporate stewardship, some companies choose to pay for 6 months or some companies choose to pay for a year. So this way we're mm-hmm. able to provide an immediate constant cash flow. The other part with the revenue share model, for example, with the art park that we were talking about, the artists come and produce, you know, in a few days or a few weeks, but then they invite people to come and see their art. So the revenue share model provides them like, you know, a monthly type of return.
And you have the pool of those organizations and people and individuals that you can kind of like connect, right, when there is a need to?
Exactly. And the short-term caretaker projects like the art park, meditation, all sorts of like education activities, marketing activities, housing activities, but housing is a bit tricky because, I mean, unless there is really this cool concept that is happening where you put, you know, teepees that are a bit above the ground, so, you know, you don't damage the soil and the plants, you can put those and, you know, make a monthly revenue kind of immediately. So we do have all these like connecting, you know, organization and pieces that we can put together.
And how does year seasons affect that? I mean, spring and fall is perfect, but
winter is actually beautiful as well. You know, it depends now with what type of forest we work with. If we work with a tropical forest, you know, there is no winter, mm-hmm. so we need to deal with the rain season.
Right.
And in the rain season is definitely tricky, but you can totally do some short-term projects in terms of like research and even education. And even, you know, doing some sort of forest bathing, because that's an experience too. We actually go a lot when it's raining, because the trees protect you to begin with.
Right.
If you sit there and you actually listen to the rain and inhale the fresh air, it's very therapeutic. But then for winter, doing all sorts of adventuring into the mountains and the forests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like survival type of skills that people want to build.
Right.
So that's another one. And these are like the short-term projects. But because we do these long-term caretaker projects as well, that still brings a constant cash flow in any case.
And you talk about caretakers that are volunteers, that usually the community, or you get the community involved. And we can, I'm assuming we can all do something. What are your tips for those who want to start and become caretakers?
So if you want to become a caretaker, there are two ways, I think. The first one is to actually propose this model to a forest owner that you might know and say, hey, I would love to lease your land and create a project and stay here for a while. Or we can help them. We have a few forests under preservation that are starting now to open to forest caretakers.
And then they provide housing. I mean, I'm assuming one is Panama, right?
So yeah,
if somebody wants to come right from one location to the other, do you provide that, or we need the caretaker? Is it like, I'm trying to understand if it's some sort of this my experience that I'm coming from one location, going to another location and experiencing in that time, or right, I can live by the area and become part of, connect to that forest, become part of the ecosystem in a way.
So that's the long-term goal to have someone, if they want to move between forests and support the project. What's happening right now is that we've started, you know, this year and last year as well, to implement such models. So there are levels that we work by. The first level is that we were looking for forest owners to partner with and implement such model. So we've done that until now, and we have a few forests now under preservation. Then the next model is to make sure that the forest is preserved in perpetuity and companies come to fuel in capital so that the base is secure. So we are at the stage right now where we are talking to companies as forest caretakers, because we need to put all these security processes in places and help the forest owners as well. Then the next step would be to open the forest to long-term forest caretakers, because these are forests that are in the middle of nowhere. There is no infrastructure, and this is why it's ideal for logging. Right. So we want to bring the long-term forest caretakers to actually set up a system, help them build tiny houses or set up teepees that have some housing infrastructure where people can go.
Mm-hmm.
Set up in some parts, you know, we need some solar panels so that, you know, we have power and stuff like that. So that's the next level. Then the last level, if you may, is where we have guest forest caretakers, where people like, you know, maybe someone that doesn't want to be there on a, you know, monthly basis for like 5 years,
mm-hmm.
but they want to, you know, spend a month at a time or something, then they will be able to go there, have an already existing infrastructure that has been created by these long-term caretakers, set up their very impermanent project, but still helps the local community. And then they've done their project, or they've just stayed there, you know, a few nights or a few months, and then they go.
Right.
So that's like, these are like levels on which we need to build so that a forest is like preserved in perpetuity, and it has some base, and then on that base is built this long-term stuff. And then the peak is where people can just come and go.
Yes, and it's maintained and it's there for years.
Exactly, yes.
Ariana, what's your motivation for doing that?
When you listen to this, take it as it is a constant working process, because we've saw a problem, and the problem is that there has to be a model that can be implemented on a forest that produces money in an ethical way so that the forest owners and the community, the surrounding community, benefits from it. Right now, we've researched multiple options. We're now implementing them. Some might not work. Some will work better than the others. But the point is that we're here to figure out what actually works so that we don't continue cutting the forest down. Like, that's the number one priority, because it's like obvious that we can't continue as it has happened before. We can't keep cutting old growth forest and virgin forest. We can't just come and say, hey, let's stop doing that. Because mm-hmm. when you say that, you're ruining people's lives in a sense, because that's like, they depend on that income. That's what they've been taught. And most of the times, that's their only opportunity in that area.
Right.
But we have to find alternatives and bring them alternatives. So right now, we are in the process as we speak to give them these alternatives and see what works the best in temperate forests, what works the best in tropical forests. And I want to invite everyone that has a passion for this to come and support and work together to figure out a model that can be duplicated all over the world.
That's very honorable and very, very, very important. Ariana, what is your favorite tree?
My favorite tree is the mimosa tree. I just realized actually that in Romania, the mimosa tree is different from the mimosa tree here in San Francisco.
And it's not a mimosa drink,
nope.
It's a mimosa tree.
No, but now that you mentioned the mimosa drink, I might take one and go drink it under the mimosa tree. It's a very beautiful, fluffy, colorful tree.
That's beautiful. And how do you say tree in Romanian?
Copac.
Copac. Beautiful. Thank you, Oriana, for expanding our thoughts and perspective on ways to make profit by preserving the forest and why this is so, so important. It was exciting talking to you, and as always, thank you.
Thank you as well.
And thank you, everyone, for joining me today. We are all beautiful butterflies, each in his and her individual ways. I wanted to thank you for joining me today in this episode. I really appreciate you coming on this journey with me, and I hope you can join me next time. And remember, it only takes a small action to make a big difference. Be a butterfly.
And that's all for this episode. Thank you for joining us today. Please subscribe to hear more of our stories of change.